Hey everyone, good to see you. Welcome to the Monday meditation, August 16th. So yeah, we're here to meditate together. If you're new to meditation, then I hope that the instructions will be clear. It is an activity of our minds, but it's an unusual activity. Because so much of what we do when we're acting, when we're doing things, is we're trying to get something done. And this works pretty well for a lot of things. You know, if we need to clean the kitchen, then we decide to do it and we get around to doing it at some point, and so forth. The effort that we make in meditation is subtle. It does take effort, but a lot of the effort is simply managing to show up to meditate. And then in the process, in the time that we spend, we continue to make effort. We have a sort of intention to be present, to be there. But we're not trying to get something out of the present moment experience. So we're paying attention to what's happening, but without this sort of tendency to rush to some result. And I think this is one of the reasons after 30 plus years of doing this pretty seriously, it remains interesting to me because it is a space where my intelligence kicks in. I have a place for effort. There is something real about this process of calming down, becoming more peaceful, no matter what is happening. And yet there's so much permission not to engage with all of the skills that I have to get things done. Anyway, this lecture, we don't need a lecture. Let's meditate together. Two things kind of provide the core. If you're new to meditation, I like to break it into two parts. The first is we direct our attention to something relatively simple, something actually happening. This is something we do. And most forms of meditation begin this way. We'll use ambient sounds. We'll use sensations in our bodies, the sensations connected with the breath. We focus attention with something pretty mundane. And the reason we spend time doing this mental activity of focusing, sustaining attention has good effects for us. Whatever else may be happening, we can cultivate some measure of calmness, clarity, stability. And it is a very personal activity. There is a method, but it's not like a method for running a machine. It's much more like doing it in the midst of whatever is happening. And so our intelligence is relevant, you know. We can use common sense. And so even kind of finding the right posture, we can meditate in any posture, even if you're ill and confined to lying down, it's okay. But we want a posture that is a good balance of relaxation, alertness, and we can learn more about this for ourselves over time. Perhaps standing and even a little movement would be good for you. And so I seem to be in the mood to lecture. So that's the first part. We focus our attention on something relatively simple and let that be good enough. And if someone starts lecturing too much, we just let that be sort of noise in the background. And indeed, even though it is doable, it is for ordinary people, it's not something that we have to do something amazing to get going. I'll guide you in this, but it's something we can do no matter what else is happening. And of course, life continues to bring challenges to everyone. Even though we can focus attention and sustain attention to some extent, our intelligence will indeed kick in the midst of that activity. And so we'll realize we've been daydreaming, we've been planning, we were worried, quite normal activities of mind. And when we realize we've been drawn away, again, we include whatever is happening. And there isn't a rush here to get ourselves doing it right again. Not, on the contrary, we have permission just to be real, to notice what's happening with anxiety, fear, sorrow, difficult emotions. We actually welcome the experience. Not that because we love it, but because it's real, it's a very normal part of life and often is overlooked in the rush of things. And so the advice would be, can you feel it in your body, right? With when you realize your thoughts are kind of permeated with anxiety or fear or sorrow, can we shift to include the physical, palpable component of the experience? That's always a good strategy. And then gently coming back to the breath again. So eyes can be open or closed. Might take a few deeper breaths, slightly deeper in breath and out breath as we begin. Just one way to begin. Maybe even a sigh, that out breath. Letting your breath be normal. Again, we'll come back to the breath in a minute. For now, just notice the sounds you can hear. And if you are new to this sort of thing, it can be useful to notice how easy this is. And it's not cheating in some way. It's to make it easy. It's the activity. The core is just focusing attention, sustaining attention. You can do this in a kind of a spacious way with sounds. They can come from anywhere, but it's not a process of hearing everything or organizing or censoring. Just that mental activity, focusing attention in a receptive way. The sounds come to us. Not trying to get something out of the sounds, just noticing, changing. Flow of sounds. So you can stay with sounds. It's a great way to meditate. It's also good to practice with our bodies. So when you wish, letting your attention settle into your body. Kind of that same spirit as with sounds, kind of spacious to begin, just noticing generally in your body what you can feel, head, shoulders, arms, hands, torso, legs, feet. Again, this is doable. It really is doable. It's ordinary sensations, vibration, pressure, softness, whatever you feel, vibration in your hands, sensations here and there. And then for many people, much of the time, the sensations connected with the breath, the ordinary breath, are good for our purposes, slight rising, tensing in the abdomen, in the chest with the in-breath. Falling, softening, dissolving with the out-breath. So how do you know you're breathing? Just based on the sensations you can feel. Whatever you feel is good enough. Let your attention rest somewhere, maybe at the nose, air flowing in, air leaving. So the idea is this is a mental activity, this focusing, sustaining attention with something relatively neutral. It's not make-believe. We certainly don't have to pretend we're calm or something like that. So just in the midst of whatever is happening. And there is something about this mental activity. When we do it for a while, there is a cultivation of more clarity, stability, tranquility. So the invitation is to see for yourself how this might happen. There is effort, but it's mostly a patience, a willingness just to take this time. And almost by definition, we're not rushing to something because we're asking ourselves to tune into something that is relatively boring. And we're not accomplishing something directly in the normal ways we can try. Just that kind of patience, that willingness, just what is this breath now feel like as it begins, these sensations? If for any reason the breath doesn't feel quite right, that's all right. Just shifting to your hands, sensations in your hands or lower back or your feet or back to sounds. If the choices are confusing, you know, just noticing the breath at the nose is good enough. And keeping in mind that try as we might here, our minds are active by nature and that will move and get drawn and get pulled and entangled. So when we realize we're thinking about something or pulled into some other part of our experiential life, just noticing what it is. Thinking, planning, worrying, maybe emotion. Not rushing here. Yeah, just noticing, reconnecting again with the breath. So take two or three more minutes for the meditation together. Still no need to rush. Even noticing one breath is not a small thing. It's the beginning of the in-breath, it's unfolding the beginning of the out-breath, it's unfolding. So thank you. It's good to meditate with you. So a couple of comments before we go. You know, this process of cultivating concentration, which is an umbrella term for what happens when we simply focus our attention on something relatively neutral like the breath. You know, it is a process. I teach it with confidence. And yet it is very personal, what happens, what doesn't happen. And so we can relax in a way about trying to make sure that what's supposed to happen happens for us, right? It is so personal that we look into it and we see what happens. And, you know, it's understood to some extent. Buddhist psychology has explored, you know, what happens here for centuries and refined it and developed it. And so forth. And yet for each of us, it is an experiment, right? And to run the experiment well, it can make a difference what else we're doing in our lives. And so even this process of our mind settling and becoming calmer can involve paying attention to other things that we're doing, including very simple things like nutrition and some exercise and so forth, insofar as we're able to. And likewise, this process of becoming more familiar with our emotions. Here again, our conditioning varies quite a lot. People do differ in that connection, even to the expression of the emotion in our bodies, that component of the emotion, which is discernible often in the torso, the chest. For some people, it's been a fact of life ever since they were children, right? So much so that meditation comes mainly, especially in the beginning, as a way to find a refuge from that flow of bodily sensation that is easily overwhelming. And so just having that permission to shift attention away, it can be the most important part. For others, it's almost like news. It's not really news, but it's almost like brand new information that there even are physical sensations that are components of emotions and so forth. So we do differ here, but the idea is that in the midst of whatever emotion we have, in that category of difficult emotions, such as anxiety and fear and sorrow and so forth, anger, it's like there is a capacity we have to tune into what's actually happening. And it's surprising the difference it can make, right? And it's quite interesting. Like, I invite you to explore this. And so there's these two components, you know, just focusing somewhere else, somewhere where it's easy, right? Because it's boring, and tuning into the actual sensations in those moments where we have an emotion we would prefer not to have, typically, right? And just see what happens when we combine both of these, because it genuinely can be surprising. It's my experience, my own experience, and my experience with many students. This idea of calming down, becoming more concentrated and so forth. One way in which that can be surprising is it feels a lot like being bored. Right, we can be, you know, quite naturally so oriented to entertainment, to stimulation, to focusing on the problems, that when our minds begin to calm down and so forth, it's not that there's some magic emptiness or so forth typically, but it's like, oh wait, I'm kind of okay right now, and so we can notice that when it's present. And if this isn't just boredom, this is actually relatively peaceful. And then we can begin to become more familiar with that and so forth. And likewise, it can be very interesting to get the hang of tuning into our emotions and the physical component. Often, not always, but often, these sensations are not demanding our attention. In that way, they differ from acute pain, right? So the sort of turbulence in my chest when I am angry, it's not a sort of pain that's calling my attention so much. It takes some practice even to remember to tune into it. But precisely because it's not so painful, even though it can be edgy, right? It is something that's manageable that we can tune into. And again, part of the practice is allowing ourselves to have that permission just to tune into those sensations rather than stay focused on the thoughts. Because as human beings, we're great at thinking, and it's a fantastic capacity, of course, to remember the past, to reflect on the past, to think about the future, imagine different possible futures and all of that. If there's nothing about meditation, in my view, that requires sort of a denigration of the capacity for reflective thought in all its forms. And yet, it can be super important, especially for those of us who like to think, to include our bodies more fully in the experience, especially with emotions. I'm in the mood to lecture. It's great to have you here. We're gathering from all over the world. And it's an honor to practice with you and to share from my own experience. So thank you for your attention, and we'll see you.
Marvin?
Yeah.
Do you anticipate starting meditations in, say, November at the law school?
Oh, my God. That's a good question. In the past, I have led Tuesday 12:30 meditations over in the law school. And we really don't know at this point.
Thank you.
Yeah.